This is Eddie with the Mind and Fitness Podcast. On the show today with me is Laura Haraka, who I've been talking to for a long time. We spent some time talking about somatics, breath work. She's a mind-body practitioner. Her story goes back 10 years. Laura, I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
You know, self-compassion is something we haven't talked about enough on the show, but I'm glad that you launched into chatting about that. And there was a quote that you said that is going to be the name of today's episode, but pain is not something to be managed.
Yes, it's not anything to be managed.
All right, let's get to the show. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am so happy that you're here. This is Eddie with the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It's February the 20th, 2025. You know, before I get started today, I wanted to make sure that I give a big shout out to the patrons of the show. And actually, a new patron jumped on here since the last time that I talked about this, Justin. So thank you so much for the support. Justin, really appreciate you being here. But on top of that, it's also Mary and Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Irina, Tony, Michael, Christina, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast week after week, month after month. And for some of you, a lot of you, it's year after year. So thanks so much for being here. You know, one thing that I would say, suggest that's happened. So there's been quite a few mind-body books that actually have dropped in the last few weeks. Dan Buglio's book dropped. Dan Ratner's book dropped. And I'm actually currently reading Nicole Sachs's most recent book called Mind Your Body. I am a quarter of the way into it. It's definitely dense. I think the thing that's really nice is that she's directly from the Sarno Learning Tree. And it seems like it is going to be, I called it the modern Bible of mind-body medicine. So I'd urge you to go check that out if you haven't yet. You get it on Amazon. I got the paper copy because I wanted like a physical, tangible one. The challenge with that, though, is that sometimes I like reading in bed or kind of in the dark. And I should have got it for my Kindle so I could read it really anywhere. I have one of those backlit Kindles. It's really, really nice. So, we'll see. But today's interview is with somebody I actually started chatting with her years ago, like 7 years ago. Her and I were going back and forth about getting an interview scheduled for this podcast. Her name is Laura. And yeah, we first chatted back in December of 2018. So it's been quite a while. So I'm looking forward to you hearing what Laura and I are talking about today. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. It's been 7 years in the making, which is a quick apology, but we've just had speed bumps along the way trying to get this thing scheduled. But Laura Haraka on the line with me now, calling out of where? I realize I didn't even ask.
I'm in Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Bloomfield, New Jersey. Okay, well, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. I'm happy to be here. We finally connected.
Yeah, yeah. So some backstory, like you and I chatted about a year after this show came to be, and this is going to be episode like 360-something. So it's been around a long time. And then 2022, we were chatting a little bit back and forth. You did a podcast with Nicole. I want to talk a little bit about that.
Correct.
At that time, but just never ended up being able to get it synced up. So with that being said, I know that you're in the coaching space, but I want to hear about some of your background. Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I'll start. I'll introduce myself. And I like to introduce myself a little differently today, because the way we introduce ourselves basically shapes how we see ourselves. And when that comes to pain, identity is a big role because a lot of people identify with their pain. So instead of just telling you what I do, let me tell you who I am in relationship to why I do it. So I am someone that believes that pain is just not something to be managed or cured, but something to be understood. And I'm someone who listens to the stories of the body and without fear, but with curiosity. And I help people rewrite their relationships with pain, not by fighting it, but by meeting it with presence, the breath, and compassion. So I'm courageous, I'm strong, I'm kind and persistent, and I'm also someone who gets scared has perfectionistic and people-pleasing tendencies, and I'm someone that gets nervous, especially when I do podcasts. So I'm totally human. So professionally, I'm a mind-body practitioner, a somatic experiencing practitioner, and a breathwork facilitator. But I teach people how to navigate pain, not by pushing through it, but by learning from it. So at the core, I teach you that your body is not your enemy. And healing isn't about perfection. It's about connection and compassion.
You said somatic. You said breathwork. There was one or two other specialties.
Sure. I'm a mind-body practitioner.
Okay.
Somatic experiencing practitioner.
Okay.
And a breathwork facilitator.
Perfect. Can you, maybe you're going to get into this later, but I don't want to say that I have trouble differentiating the two. To me, when I think of somatic experiencing, I think of Peter Levine. When I think of somatic tracking, I think of Alan Gordon. Can you chat me up, smarten me up on this?
Yeah, I'm so happy you asked that. I've been meaning to get on the internet and talk about this a little more because people sometimes hire me. They say, oh, I want to hire you because you're an expert in somatic tracking. Well, somatic tracking is just basically a mindfulness-based practice used in pain reprocessing therapy. And it involves bodily sensations with curiosity and safety and non-resistance to help people reduce fear and rewire the brain's perception of pain, basically. And the goal is basically to shift from danger mode to safety mode, allowing the nervous system to reinterpret pain as non-threatening. Now, somatic experiencing is a trauma healing modality developed by Peter Levine, as you said, and it focuses on releasing stored survival energy in the nervous system by gently tracking the bodily sensations, pendulating from discomfort to safety. And it also allows for the completing of an unfinished stress response. It's basically allowing for an action that didn't get to be completed by the nervous system to be completed. So if there was a fight or a flight response, someone needed to run, someone needed to punch, someone needed to kick, somatic experiencing allows for that to happen. So the goal is basically to restore nervous system regulation and resolve trauma at a physiological level. So while they're both fantastic methods, somatic tracking is basically used for pain reprocessing, which is great. And that's used in somatic experiencing as well. But somatic experiencing is basically a broader approach to trauma healing and nervous system regulation.
Can you give me an example of a use case in the mind-body spectrum? You can either take a client you've worked with and change their name or make up a situation entirely.
Absolutely. I'll take one of my clients. So one of my clients who I no longer see, she came to me with restless leg syndrome. And she had a history of abuse by her son, who was suffering and struggling with drug abuse. So this woman was abused by him, and she was not able to kick. She was not able to run. She was not able to yell. So it was like a thwarted response stuck in her body. And she came to me with restless leg syndrome. So we were able to look at the legs, notice the legs, be with the legs. And then we were able to allow the action to complete that needed to complete. So we actually let those legs run in a visualization. We let those legs kick. And sometimes that's not done in a visualization. So it's about letting the fight or flight response be completed. Does that make sense?
So what comes to mind for me, and maybe this is incorrect, is, and this isn't applicable to this specific example, but there was this, it wasn't all the rage, but I heard about it a lot a few years ago. These things called rage rooms. Are you familiar with these?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm totally familiar.
Is that the idea there?
Well, not completely, because in somatics, sometimes it's even about slowing it down, where I'll have people push against a wall to get some of the anger out, or I'll have people pretend that they're going to basically throw watermelons, and they can actually visualize themselves doing it to get that stored energy out of their body.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay.
And then it's not stuck.
I feel like something must have led you to doing the work that you're doing now. Probably an experience that you had. Tell me about that.
So May 2nd, 2015, I developed chronic pelvic pain. I started my day out like any other day. I was a stay-at-home mom. I was a PTA president. I dropped my kids off at school and went for a run, came home, went to the bathroom. And a few minutes later, I had to go to the bathroom again. And I knew at that moment something was wrong. I said, oh, maybe I have a UTI. So I just like basically grabbed a yogurt, grabbed some cranberry juice and said, oh, it'll go away.
Yeah.
Paid no attention to it. When it didn't go away, I went to my primary care doctor, hoping for an antibiotic, and then I'd be on my way and return to my normal life. Well, the test results came in and they showed no infection. However, I was in tremendous pain. He said if it didn't get better in a few days, you know, go for a urologist and get some more tests. That point started a four-year quest to figure out what was causing my pain. I went to over 25 doctors across the United States.
Wow.
And I was given 10 different diagnoses, all under the umbrella of pelvic pain. I was diagnosed with pudendal neuralgia, interstitial cystitis, PGAD, pelvic floor dysfunction. I had Tarlov cysts, pelvic congestion syndrome, endometriosis, a herniated disc, and they all caused these different symptoms. So I had arousal, I had rectal pain, I had burning and vaginal pain and nerve pain, I had urinary frequency and urgency, I had bladder pressure and bladder pain, and I had sitting pain and standing pain. I was kind of a mess.
Yeah, yeah, that's like pain all the time in every different way.
Exactly, exactly. So I decided to start this quest going to doctors, and some of these tests were very invasive. I had to have cystoscopies done, urodynamic studies, let alone it's a hard part of the body to talk about, mm-hmm. the pelvis, right? So I started traveling to Pennsylvania to see a doctor for bladder installations. I traveled to the city to see multiple doctors. That's New York City. And I had trigger point injections, Botox injections. I had MRIs, MRNs. I had multiple urodynamic studies. And I also had a surgery to correct the pelvic congestion syndrome, where they went in and embolized my ovarian veins.
Wow.
And nothing worked.
Well, when you were doing some of the advanced testing, was the result, I don't know if that's the right word, was the result that they were giving you, was it inconclusive? Like, was that kind of what it was marked as when they would do some of these advanced testing? Or was it, oh, this for sure has told us what's wrong, it's this thing, and then they go and do a treatment and then it doesn't work? What was typically going on?
Yeah, it was kind of like if I saw a doctor that specialized in PN, they'd say you have PN.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I went to a doctor that specialized in IC, they said, oh, it looks like IC.
Yeah.
So whatever doctor I went to, they thought it was something that they could fix because they honestly really didn't know what was wrong with me.
Yeah.
And I think they were just guessing.
How do you get to a point of kind of going through all that, having a surgery, you know, a surgery that didn't work, all this kind of stuff, to sort of having this kind of, you know, come to realization moment of this isn't my path?
Yeah, well, I was desperate, basically. My life was looking really bleak because when I went to these doctors, all they did was give me medications. And I had a medicine cabinet full of oxycodone, morphine, clonopin, gabapentin. So I developed addiction, clinical depression, and anxiety and suicidal ideation. And then it all changed. So July 17th, 2017, I met Caitlin Peterson, who is a hypnotherapist in New Jersey. And she just created a safe place for me to share what was happening in my life. And Caitlin's office was down this long hallway. And one day while I was waiting for her to come, I heard the door to the building open and I hear her coming up the stairs and I see her peek down the hallway and sees me there and jumps back. I'm like, what is this lady doing? And all of a sudden, I hear dance music blasting. And this woman starts dancing down the hallway, right? So I'm sitting there. I am in sweatpants. I look a mess. I'm addicted to medications. And I'm like, do I laugh? Do I smile? I didn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
this woman did this for months. So I was really grateful because honestly, I would even try to get there early to my appointment because if I didn't get there early, she would have already went in and then she wouldn't have danced.
Yeah, yeah.
So I came home to my children and I said, girls, they were 13 and 16 at the time. And I said, I have 3 months to learn this dance. I want to learn a dance for Caitlin so I can dance down this same hallway for her. And they said, Mom, 3 months is not long enough. You're a terrible dancer. So we started dancing and I started doing the steps, learning the steps. And I didn't realize at that moment I was creating a new neural pathway in my brain.
Yeah.
And I was having fun with my kids. So between joy and creating this new pathway, my pain started going down.
Wow. That sounds almost more coincidental that, or was that her intent, or do you know?
You know, I think it was coincidental. I do believe her intent was to bring some joy into my life. Mm-hmm. I don't think she knew I was then going to learn the steps to a dance.
Yeah.
And that all that was going to happen.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So this was like, you mentioned like middle of the summer of 2017.
Yeah.
How long, because I mean, neural pathways can be created fairly quickly, but it also sort of depends on age and how much you're really willing to accept and all that kind of stuff. This almost sounds like maybe it a little bit more caught you by surprise. When, we're not big on circling calendars, but when did you start really seeing some symptom relief?
Well, I started seeing relief right away. Mm-hmm. Because I started dancing all the time then.
Yeah.
I was doing TikToks with my kids. And then I stumbled on the internet on Dr. Schubner's book, mm-hmm. Unlearn Your Pain. And then I realized, oh my God, this is like my autobiography. Mm-hmm. So I started educating myself. And between the education and the dancing, and I found my own somatic experiencing practitioner, Wendy Newman. And we worked together because I needed support for this. This was a lot to handle. And I started feeling relief. And along with that, I found a type of breath work that really helped me called conscious connected breath work. And when I did that, it was basically like a reset of my nervous system. So between somatics, between the breath work, my work with Caitlin, and the education I was getting in the mind-body world, and I'll be honest with you, it was a lot through Dan Buglio's videos.
Yeah,
I was listening to him every day. He was great. And between all that, my pain started to go away.
That's awesome. That's a great story. What was your line of work in a past life? Like before all this stuff?
So I was a teacher.
Okay.
How old was I when I was a teacher?
No. How old were the kids?
Oh, I was a high school teacher.
Oh, gosh. Bless you. My mother was a high school teacher for 25 years. Bless you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was a high school teacher for 10 years. And then I took a 20-year maternity leave and stayed home with my children. Mm-hmm. And then I went and became a dog walker because it was always my dream to open my own dog walking business. So yeah. I did that with the pain.
Wow. We are definitely dog people here. So that's pretty sweet. You know, one interesting thing, and maybe there's a connection to this or maybe there's not, it's probably just a funny coincidence, is that, Jeannie Colwin, she's sponsored this podcast forever, was a high school teacher and now is a breathwork coach. And that's what she does. Like what is it? What is it about, about teaching that people then get into the breathwork? What is that?
You know, I think when people teach, they basically, it's something they love to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think people get into teaching for the money.
No, they
right?
don't. They don't.
And even when I'm teaching, I'm not teaching math. And me and Jeannie are friends. Mm-hmm. So, and she was on my podcast, actually.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And I think when people teach, it doesn't matter what they teach. So whether she's teaching stress reduction or I'm teaching mind body tools or we're teaching breath work, we're still teaching,
yeah.
Just not in a school and a different form.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So talk about what you're doing now. I know you said kind of what you're doing. But I want to hear a little bit more about some of the depth or some of the details, about those
things. Sure. So once I healed, I really had this urge to help other people. I was like, this can't be a secret. And because of my pelvic pain, I felt like, you know, this is a hard subject to talk about. And it's not easy to talk about that part of the body. So I decided to try to be really brave and talk about things that are not easy to talk about so that other people wouldn't feel as alone. So I went back to school and I got my somatic experiencing practitioner certification, and I'm a mind body practitioner. And I also have 4 different types of breath work that I now have certified in.
Conscious Connected, I imagine, is one of those.
Conscious Connected is one, which is great. That's more like a journey, which is really great. And it's been so influential on my healing journey. But I also do things like yogic breath work, where it's just a quick and easy way to reset the nervous system. I do circle breathing that I learned in somatic experiencing, where we move the breath through the body, moving the stuck energy, which is really great for people with pain conditions. And the other one is through the Oxygen Advantage Program, which
I feel like I own that book. I just don't know where it is. I feel like I've is it talk about the Oxygen Advantage. I might own this book. I can't remember for sure.
Patrick McCowan is amazing, and he's the instructor, and he teaches a method where you breathe light, low, and slow. So I instruct people through this, and what it does is it helps people get basically more oxygen into their body by creating more tolerance to carbon dioxide. Because when we create more tolerance to carbon dioxide, it gives more oxygen to our blood, to our cells, to our muscles. And if we go by Sarno's theory, right, there's the deprivation of oxygen. And he has a lot of studies that show that this type of breath work help with pain conditions. So I'm like, oh, I got to get another certification. Yeah. So I went for number 4.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I think that I might have come across that on a forum around like endurance athletes. Like being able to have that as a use case or a tool in endurance training, because that's one challenge, like long distance runs, like trying to, like, one thing I don't do it so much anymore, but even just trying to like nasal breathe as long as you can, as long as possible. But sometimes that has me focusing way too much on that. I almost feel like I'm like kind of suffocating myself instead of performing. That's really, it's fascinating stuff. I think I do own that book, nearly certain actually, that I do. So
It's great for helping enhance athletic performance, but most of my clients are people that have chronic pain conditions.
Yeah.
So I usually focus on that aspect of it. But just breathing in and out of your nose gives you the, you know, tells your nervous system and your brain that you're safe.
Yeah. What, you know, one of the I guess like in school, I can't think of a more black and white topic than mathematics. Like either it's this or it's not, you know what I mean? Like there's not a, but in mind body work, I feel like there's just a mountain of nuance. And so I'm curious about what are some of the things that you have learned about yourself? Like if you and I did this interview on May 2nd, 2015 versus doing it now, like what's the difference in Laura as a person, other than, you know, other than what you're doing for a living, or other than like, what are some of your challenge beliefs or, you know, things like that, how you kind of operate your daily life, that kind of stuff?
I'm going to tell you everything is different about me. Number one, I have a lot of compassion for myself now, which I did not before. And it's one of the ways I help people heal, is to notice those in somatics, to notice those parts of themselves and to have compassion for that part of themselves instead of fighting against that part of themselves and saying, oh, I wish that part wasn't there. And I did not have a lot of compassion for myself. Mm-hmm. The other I would say is love. I am very careful now the way I speak to myself, and I can catch myself. And I really do speak to myself the same way I would want to speak to one of my children or somebody else. So I wouldn't want to speak to myself in a negative framework. So I have now a lot of self-love, which has changed the way I function in the world. And I also incorporate self-care in my life. I go to the gym now. I do my breath work every day. I try really hard not to overwhelm my nervous system. And I check in with my nervous system because that's a form of self-care. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, having an emotion come and being like, okay, I got to do the dishes. I got to take the kids to soccer. I got to do this. Yeah. It's about checking in and taking that time for myself. And I'd say really the fourth thing that's really different about me is I have a lot of fun now.
Awesome.
There was not a lot of fun in my life. And one of the things I start doing, I think on Monday mornings, I'll start texting my friends, who's up for going out Friday night? So I start the ball rolling right away. So I try to have a lot more fun in my life. And it doesn't have to be going anywhere or doing anything specific, but it could just be calling a friend on the phone and laughing.
Yeah.
So having this self-compassion, the self-care, the self-love, and more joy has been a game changer for me. And that's what I try to teach to my clients.
What, where can people find more information on you? Do you have a website or some, or, you know, e-courses or, you know, content, anything like things like that?
Yeah, sure. So a couple ways. Number one, I have a podcast, Beyond the Pelvis.
Okay.
And I co-host that with Dr. Kenille Siegel. She's a physical therapist. And we have a lot of different types of people on that, different types of and ways you can heal from chronic pain. I also have a website, feeltoheal.live, and an Instagram, feeltohealwellness. And I'm also on Facebook, feeltohealwellness.
Excellent. I will link, I'll link these. I didn't know the podcast piece. I know you brought it up a few minutes ago, but you've had David Clark on. Looks like you had Dr. Schechter on fairly recently. Mm-hmm. Talk. How's the podcast experience been?
You know, the podcast is great. It's been so fun to connect with people. I'm a people person. Mm-hmm. I love talking to people. I think it's fun. I love to hear their stories. Yeah. And I've taken a lot of certifications, but I'm always learning. Mm-hmm. And I always think it's so nice to hear different people's points of view or things that they learn. And I've met people now from all over the world, how light can help with pain. We interviewed Carrie Bennett. We interviewed a man about dreams, dream work, and how that can help with pain. So it's opened up all these different points of view and different ways that people can look for different tools to help them relieve their pain.
Here's something as we kind of round third and end, something that is, so one of the other things that I do that's not a profession at all, but I got asked like probably about 7 years ago, if I would admin one of these TMS groups, the mind-body syndrome. One of the challenging things, especially in the last couple of months that has come up, and actually I'd have kind of like a you know, come to truth post with the 4,000 people that are in there or whatever about, hey, like we're all adults. I don't want to see any infighting in here. This is obnoxious, like that kind of thing. But the other thing that I notice quite often is that there is a subset of people that are in this, which seems insane to me, that are in this world that understand it, but are just dead set on there is only one way to do this. And it's interesting as I browse the various people that you've had as interviewees in the last 3 months is that there are more than one way to skin a cat. And so one thing that I've noticed after doing this podcast now for 8 years is that honestly, most of y'all are saying the same thing. You're just saying it in a different way, or you have a different accent, or you have, you know what I mean? Like that there's so many different ways to do this. Do you mind kind of wrapping up with that? As I say that, what does that make you think of? That there are so many different ways, because it's not often that we have somebody that comes on the show that has, usually it's, they have a distinctive background in something, but you've got a few things. And so can you talk about this idea of there's only one way versus lots of different things could work for somebody, but it sort of depends on the person. What it reminds me of is that, I have a certain way that I like to work out and train, but I always tell people, hey, like when I get asked my opinion on, what sort of workout should I do? I just always say, whatever one you'll keep doing. that you'll enjoy enough to keep doing. That's the only one that's going to work for you. Right. Talk about that. I guess what makes you, what comes to mind when I say all that?
Right. So my specialty is somatic experiencing and breath work, right? So, however, as you said, we all kind of say the same thing, maybe with a little bit of a different flair, things like that. And there's so many ways to and tools that we can use. For example, if someone said to me, do I have to journal to get better? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying journaling is a bad tool. I did journal for quite some time. But if I told one of my clients, you must journal to get better, and that client said, oh my God, I hate journaling. Don't journal.
Yeah.
Let's find the path that's right for you. Whether it's somatics, whether it's breath work, whatever it is, find the things that work for you that you enjoy doing. Because if you're going to do things that you hate doing, it's going to create this signal in the brain that this is dangerous and we don't like it. So for me, I danced. I did a lot of cooking to help me retrain my brain pathways. And that was fun for me. So if you hate cooking, don't cook. If you hate dancing, don't dance. You might want to find something else, playing the guitar. And maybe journaling is the thing that helps you. But it's find the tools that are right for you that you can basically be happy doing and it's not forced.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. thank you for being here. I'm going to link some of the resource pages. I didn't realize I was only looking at the first page of podcast episodes. You've actually been at this a long time. You've been at it since it looks like 2020 or end of 2023.
Yeah. We've had quite a few guests. I think we're in the 20s or 30s in episodes, and we're going strong. And right now we have a waiting list to come on the podcast. So it's really fun and we look forward to more episodes.
And it looks like it's kind of like a who's who of people that I've interviewed also as I kind of stroll mm-hmm. through here, which is cool. Right. Feel free to look through the list, by the way, and reach out to anybody else and say, hey, I was on with Eddie. Well, hey, Laura, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I was happy to be here.